We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Joining us on After Six, it's another prisoner. He's, a former prisoner now. We spoke to him many months ago, over half a year ago, when he was incarcerated in the state of Connecticut, and I guess serving time with Michael Leibowitz. I'm a little fuzzy on the details myself, so let's welcome Jason Gallino back. Jason, thanks for being here.
Hey, how you doing, Todd? Nice to be back.
Did I say your name right?
Yes, you did.
Okay. So you called in a few times and spoke with us, and remind us what your story was so people can put you in the right place.
I had went to jail for drug addiction and committed a serious offense and received a 23-year sentence for it. I did 19 years of that, but recently they modified my sentence because I had severe misconduct in my case. The prosecutor that was prosecuting me was having sexual relations with my ex-girlfriend, also trying to, you know, I don't know what the situation was, but the PSI lady lied in my report, and lo and behold, the court
saw an error. Okay, so because of these, how did you get those misbehaviors, those irregularities brought to somebody's attention and get them to act on them?
Well, I'll tell you. So for many years in the DOC, I was a level one risk factor. And then out of the blue, I went to a level four.
Which is the lowest?
One was the lowest escape risk that you can be. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, it changed. It went to a four for no apparent reason. So I filed, you know, paperwork within and found out that it was based on something with my PSI report. Well, while I was going through my pretrial hearings, the prosecutor that was prosecuting me, you know, was having sexual relations with my girlfriend. So the PSI lady lied in the report. Well, I get it into the habeas corpus unit at the court. You know, again, taxpayers' dollars just being completely wasted on someone else's mistake. And the court saw that there was severe misconduct and decided that they were going to say.
But how did they see that? Why? I'm surprised.
Yeah, there was a huge investigation into it that, you know, the prosecutor had
previously that was already on the record or recently?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. This happened many years ago. So 2004, he got suspended or.
Okay, so they already knew that this was already recorded. Why did it take 15 years to get them to look at it and act on it?
Well, because they just wanted to collect all the money that they could collect off of me from being in jail as a person. You know, you got a body in there, you're collecting money.
What do you mean? Who's collecting money?
Oh, the Department of Corrections. That's how they keep it full. You know, they work hand in hand with the judicial system. If you were to look at the you know, the statistics of people coming into the DOC and people being sentenced through the judicial branches, they pretty much flow evenly and equally across the board. So obviously the judicial systems work hand in hand with the Department of Corrections. And that's
so you're saying that basically they have that the Department of Corrections wants to have a certain number of people incarcerated, and they depend on the judicial system, and they coordinate with the judicial system to make sure that threshold is met.
Absolutely. There is no other way.
Where do you get this impression from?
Well, it's not an impression. It's factual because it's happening to me right now. So the court modified my sentence and changed my sentence because of all of this misconduct. They changed it from 23 years to 18 years to serve, followed by 2 years of special parole. Well, that's a 20-year total effective sentence. As you guys know from previously talking with me, I did 19 years in the prison system. Today, I am being told that by the parole authorities, which are being misled, I just want to clarify this, which are being misled by the DOC, that I have to do 21 and a half years on a 20-year sentence, Todd. And this is factual.
All right, this sounds like the Twilight Zone.
Yes.
Do you have a good lawyer working on this, Jason?
Well, no. So as with everything that I've done, I've had to learn how to litigate myself. I've had to learn how to understand law myself, which is why I'm standing on the street today, because I understand it. And it's crazy. So I'm doing.
So you've done this without you? You got yourself released without the help of a lawyer?
I had a lawyer, appointed one, just so there was no miscommunication. But everything I did was pro se, with the help of other offenders. One that's working for a law firm now. It's a whole nother story. But yes, I did.
Okay.
I got
so there is a network of people who have the skill set on the outside,
yes,
who can help out?
Yes, and they're ex-offenders, you know, so it's beneficial. But I called the Department of Corrections and said, listen, you know, the court imposed a 20-year sentence. I did 19 years in jail. I have 740 days of rec credit that I earned legitimately by being good. By following
the good behavior, early release stuff.
Absolutely. So with, you know, 19 plus 740 days.
So no problem that you already served what you were obligated to serve. And what did they say?
Absolutely. And so I talked to the classification lady. Her name is Michelle DeVoe. I know you don't like names, but she told me that my discharge date is in 2022. Well, if I came to jail in 2001... and I did 19 years, how do you come up with this number? She couldn't give me an answer.
So how does this kind of thing, like say there was no intent, you think they're doing this on purpose, or you're saying to us they're doing this on purpose because they want to keep you
100%,
locked up. But
100%.
But what if they had no agenda and they just, somebody messed up the paperwork and
how
your paperwork came out? What would the normal way of getting that straightened out be?
So I advanced farther and researched farther, and I called the clerk because the court is the one that hands out the sentence. So I said, okay, I'll just get the end date of the sentence from the clerk of the court.
Right.
I called the
clerk. So you're saying
if
you just had the clerk look at it, he or she would look at it, see that there was a clerical error, they would correct the clerical error, maybe have a judge sign off on it, and it would be all fixed.
Well, I'm just looking for the end of the end date of my sentence. So if I have
I'm trying to figure out, Jason, what would be a normal way to resolve this if they weren't pushing back against you what you're telling us, that they're fighting you and deliberately making these mistakes. But I'm saying, what if they accidentally made the mistake? You would just send a note to the clerk of court or call, and the clerk would look, see the messed
and
fix it, right?
Yeah, well, after I talked to her, she provided me with this little bit of information that I'm sure the public would like to know. She said, sir, we only impose a sentence. We don't calculate the time of your sentence. And I said, excuse me? And she said,
well, who calculates it?
They hand it off to the Department of Corrections, Todd.
Do you think that's true? That doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either, and I've talked to several other 100 people, and it doesn't make any sense to them.
But this is where an experienced lawyer would know and make a phone call and presumably get it straightened out if it was just a mistake.
Yeah. Well, you know, So I told you before I had the habeas pending, which is what...
Hang on a second, Jason. Jason, okay. We're too much in the weeds, so you're giving me... Ironically, you're giving me so much detail, it's hard to understand what's going on. So the questions I'm asking you are ones to get context, so we can understand without having to go through all this detail with you.
Okay. Awesome.
Without telling us about every move you made, can you say where it's at right now? Is anyone looking at it? Do you know? Or are you making any progress?
So I filed another motion to correct the legal sentence with the court, and it's been seen, but it's not being acted upon. And it, like you said, it's just a clerical error. The court could say to the DOC, listen, you got to give him the 700 days. He earned it, you know, whatever. Even without the 700 days, my discharge should be relatively soon. But, yeah, I don't have anybody looking at it. I wish I knew somebody that could look at it. But the DOC is intentionally manipulating numbers to meet their...
But there must be agencies in the state. We're talking to Jason Galino. He's a prisoner who called in a few times when he was still incarcerated. He's been out for 6 months, and he's telling us the story of trying to deal with the Department of Corrections and get his situation straightened out, because the reason he was released in advance of what his sentence would have called for is because his case was dealt with apparently unethically by certain people involved, and that was on the record, and he got them to act on that and release him. So Jason, the important thing for us to be able to understand is to put this in the larger story of our understanding of the Department of Corrections, to be able to know what is the dog that's wagging this tail. You know, what is it that makes it be, because they should be excited that you're getting out. They should be shaking your hand and giving you a pat on the back and helping you transition so you can be successfully a non-recidivating prisoner. That should be their goal for you, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And do you get any of that vibe? What happens when you leave? How's that work?
Well, obviously we know that you leave with no identification. They give you a mugshot, so that's 1 foot.
You left, and they give you a photocopy of your mugshot. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what they give you for your identification to walk out onto the street after 19.
And what
years
are you supposed to do with that? Does anybody coach
well,
you? Do they give you a phone number of somebody to talk to on the outside to help you transition? How's that work?
No. So fortunately for me, I have a great support system. You know, my boss is my sponsor, and it's just, you know, I'm blessed on that aspect. I go to work every day. I live normal life. I'm making strides towards, you know, bigger, better things. But
so you had a job lined up in advance? Is this who you worked for before you were incarcerated?
Yeah, he's been a family friend forever. He owns Fisher Landscaping, and he's just a really great guy.
What has he done for you? What has he done for you in terms of helping you with the process over since you were released a few months ago?
Well, because I don't have any ID, I can't drive. And he's taken me everywhere on top of providing me with a roof over my head and feeding me and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, it's just a blessing to have somebody. You know, my mom, you guys already know before she had passed away. But so I don't, you know, I got my wife, and it's
okay,
hard
but
for
couldn't,
her.
Couldn't your friend, Mr. Fisher, if that's his name, couldn't he help connect you with a lawyer who could work through these things?
Well, he was just with me the other day when we went to motor vehicle and could not believe what transpired, because the lady went from completely happy to deal with me to sour once this guy just started making comments. So he's at awe as
when
well
what
as
guy
I
started
am.
Oh, you're talking about the
motor vehicle incident.
You're talking about the security guy. So you told me this off the air. We have to bring people up to speed. You went to the DMV just to get a photo ID, correct? And when
yeah.
they when they ran your profile on their computer, that caused a security person to come out? Is that what happened?
No. What happened is I was, this is the third time I went to motor vehicle. The first time, another ironic thing is, so Social Security Department wants a valid ID so you can get a Social Security card. The other people, the DMV, wants a Social Security card so you can get an ID. So I was in a catch-22. I didn't have a Social Security card the first time. The second time I went back, right, a correctional officer also does security for the Department of Motor Vehicle in Willimantic. And when I went in there to deal with the lady, she was fine, and I had all my proper paperwork. And this guy walked out, recognized me from the institutions, made a couple comments to her, you know, oh, he's out, he's probably trying to get his license so he could go rob people, da-da-da-da-da. And her face went from happy to deal with me to completely sour as soon as it happened. And I didn't walk out of there with an ID, despite having all of the proper paperwork. That's what you deal with.
So this security guy, who's also a prison guard, he just happened to walk out and see you. That was accidental. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he must have been in the bathroom in the back or whatever, and he walked
and he
up
put in a bad word for you.
Well, no, he walked right up along the side of the lady and stood over the back of her shoulder and was talking to me, but loud enough so that she understood what was being, you know.
Now, why would, again, what is that? Does that surprise you? I would think a prison guard who knew you would want to help you with the process. Why would he want to hurt you? Why wouldn't he be happy that you were out and trying to move on with your life?
Well, you know, he wasn't trying to hurt me. It's just the fact that he said, oh, you're out of jail, you're trying to go and get your license so you could rob people, puts a stereotype on all offenders. And this is how they treat.
Well, but what you described was that he was putting the kibosh on your being able to proceed. Why would he have intervened if he, I mean, he would have known that that would be a problem and not done it if he was on your side, right?
Yeah, well, you know, you would think that they would want to help. You would think.
So this is the part of the story that's helpful for people, you know, normal people to hear who haven't been inside the system.
It's like the blue coat effect. You know what I mean? They know that he's the
CEO. What's that?
Blue coat effect? You don't know what that is?
Yeah, what is that?
So that's like in the system, when you piss off one CEO, another one will take over and handle his personal vendettas so that he don't get in trouble. You know, they'll target
you. Okay, so the anger of the of an individual person who works in the system gets transferred across the system, and everybody punishes you for having upset that one person.
Absolutely.
All right, we're about out of time. Where are you today with this process, and what are you going to do next?
I'm waiting patiently. I told you I don't even have an ID, so I'm basically stuck at the shop working and welding and doing stuff like that all day long.
Jason, have you called? There are all kinds of groups.
I have talked to people from the United States Attorney's Office that deal with reintegration. I've talked to community people. I've talked to the ACLU. It's the DOC. Everything refers back to the DOC.
Yes, but that's why God gave us lawyers.
Okay, so it's kind of hard to pay for a lawyer with no money.
Well,
you know?
But that's why I'm asking you about some volunteer group that, or some, maybe the Bar Association coordinates behavior of the attorneys who have to volunteer their time and do some of this kind of work.
Yeah, so maybe this radio interview might spark something with somebody.
Yeah. Okay. So anybody. If there's a lawyer or somebody who knows how Jason should proceed listening, send me an email, todd@toddtalk.com, todd@toddtalk.com, unless, Jason, you have some way for them to contact you.
I'd like to say one other thing, if I could. I would like to say thank you to the victims of my crime that did not oppose my sentence modification And I would like to say thank you to all the court officials that did do their job in a respectful manner. I appreciate it.
That's it for this conversation with Jason Gallino and for this episode edition of After Six. And there is, all right, I don't take anyone at face value, but I'm very interested in what Jason had to say and look forward to being able to research it further and maybe get an attorney on this and figure out what's going on. But the story he's telling us is one that is consistent with everything we hear from the people we talk to inside the prison system, that the prison system is not there to correct. It is not a Department of Corrections. It has no interest in helping prisoners get assimilated back into the outside world in such a way that they don't become recidivists. That's why the recidivism rates are astronomical. Most prisoners get released and get involved with the legal system again, but it doesn't appear to be. That doesn't appear to be a trend that happens despite the efforts of the Department of Corrections. That seems to be inevitable based on how the Department of Corrections does its job, because the Department of Corrections, like all of government, exists to serve itself, not the people. That's what I have learned from our study of the Department of Corrections and everything I see when I look at government. So that's why I like talking to the prisoners. A lot of people get mad that I want to talk to them, but they're human beings who did stupid things at one point in their lives, pay their dues, and get nothing. But it's not about them getting anything back, really. I mean, they deserve humanity back, but we deserve a return on investment for our 50 grand a year. And the idea of the 50 grand a year is that the Department of Corrections is professional at making sure these people get their lives corrected to the maximum potential. I'm not pie in the sky. I'm not saying they're all good people who are going to be wonderful and lead wonderful lives if only given the right chances. But some of them will. And their job for the 50 grand a year inside the Department of Corrections should be to be making strides to help the people who want help, like Leibowitz, like Brent McCall. Impressive intellects, thinkers, people who've turned their lives around as much as they can. Why do they get punished for writing a book instead of celebrated? Why does Jason Gallino come out of prison and get resistance from the system rather than support? These are the questions I want to answer. That's it for this After Six. Thanks so much for tuning in. See you tomorrow at 3 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.